KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, episode number 278. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Christian Russell.
Hello.
And Rick Alvarez.
If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find me, then maybe you too can hire Rick Alvarez.
Yes, and you're off screen, so all we're saying is your shoulder while we're talking.
I see myself on screen.
Yes, but on the Skype window, that's all we were seeing was just the side of your ear. And yeah, right there.
That's right. If you can find me, then you can hire me.
If you or anyone else you know has any information leading to the whereabouts of Rick Alvarez.
And
you sound like you're doing mesothelioma.
And if you can deal with this now.
Mesothelioma commercials.
You are a loved one. Yeah. You may be entitled to financial compensation.
It's like those drug commercials and everything. I don't care what drug that there is. The side effects always sound way worse than what you could possibly have that you would be taking the drug for. It's like, you know, may cause internal
dysentery.
Bleeding. Yeah, may cause yeah. Internal bleeding or even death.
Cause death.
Your testicles may fall off.
That's not how medicine's supposed to work.
No.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I don't think that's how medicine is supposed to work.
No. I'm on a new medication myself for my diabetes, and it's something called Ozempica. It's a little once weekly shot that I inject into my tummy. And
for a second there, I thought you were going to say it to someone else.
Into my into that. Yeah.
I'm getting tested.
I used to sell drugs that did that. It was horrible.
I'm getting tested, Duran. I might have the sugars too.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Not fun.
Yeah. Getting old.
You want to eat all the things and you cannot.
I want to put all the things in my mouth and I can't.
Yes.
I want to stick everything in my face hole.
You love to have everything in
your
mouth.
And the doctor says I can't do that no more.
Why are we talking about this?
Christian's over here feeling uncomfortable.
He's over here, you know, oh, cheaters, oh, Twinkies,
No, not
chili,
that bad.
I need to put chili on a pizza with some hot dogs.
Hey, that actually sounds good. Why has that not happened? Chili on a pizza.
We're over here like, is this gluten-free? Is there sugar in this?
Is this diet? No, it's not.
Old man problems. And I'm only 38.
Yeah, I've got a couple more years to go before I have to deal with all of that. It's starting, but
like I'm 58.
I was 23 whenever I was diagnosed with diabetes. So,
man,
I am older than
you
that.
Was a child.
And then Orson, I believe he said, I think Orson said he was like 8.
I think he's got type 1 though.
Yeah, he's had it bad since he was like really, really young. So if you're ever at a convention and you see him sitting there shooting up, it's not heroin.
It looks cool, though.
Yeah.
Actually, it looks really scary. The first several times I saw it, I was really afraid.
It freaked me out. Like, what is happening? We were eating at a restaurant, believe me.
Yeah, yeah, like in public.
Yeah, we were eating at a restaurant like that, and he just whips out this needle like that and pulls up his shirt. And I'm like, what the hell?
It'd be a lot cooler if he just whips out the needle and he just goes right into his neck.
Improper.
That'll freak somebody out.
Thank goodness.
Right into his neck.
I was like, what is happening? And then I had to remember that, oh, right, people do that. That's the thing.
Yes. But anyway, this is a show about Transformers, and we are going to talk to you about Transformer-type stuff. Headmaster Don brought up a topic a couple weeks ago, and unfortunately he couldn't be with us today because we're actually recording a day early because I have some plans tomorrow night with the girly friend, and would not be yes.
Good old Lefty.
Yes. Yes. And so I was not going to be able to actually do any recording tomorrow night. Still working on getting the new machine. I got my tax money in, so hopefully that will happen soon. Knock on wood. We came up, Headmaster Don came up with this topic, and so if it sucks, then you can blame Headmaster Don, and I believe his Twitter handle is at HMRC4EVR on Twitter. You can send him a message and tell him that Supreme Class Cheetor is the greatest toy that was ever made.
It is.
Yes. And that you love RC mouse pads that are raised and bumpy.
So does he.
Yes.
Why do things like that exist?
Because people are weird.
Why? I don't know. I'm just like...
Someone shared...
You know, I see some of this sexy TF art out there. And I'm like, what? What is the appeal to this?
Rick, someone shared a picture the other day. It was a hand-drawn picture. It was actually... The artwork was quite good. But it was Megatron on one side of the wall with the hole and Shockwave sticking his gun barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why
Sergio and I talked about that recently. It's weird.
That
because there's weirdos out there. And some weirdos are Transformer fans. Probably.
And if
probably
those weirdos are listening to us, we still like you. Just. Yes. You're weird.
Yes.
But we like
probably
you,
someone
weird.
That's listening or watching this show right now is really into that stuff. So
we really can't judge. I mean, we have to take all the kinds here.
I mean, we
are grown men that collect
plastic
toys.
Crack.
Yes.
So yep. I guess so. You know, everyone has their own addiction.
It's like I was sitting here before we went on air, and I was looking at my fans' toys, Terminus Giganticus, and I'm like, I paid almost $300 for that thing, and it sits there. It just sits there. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
You know, I paid.
I love it.
I have the same problem. I paid $10,000 for my driveway, and it just lays there.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
It just sits there all day and night.
Just got some gravel, man.
Or a wife.
Oh. Hey, I paid good money for my wife.
Oh.
I paid good money for my wife.
All right, Drone, we still haven't got to the topic. What's the topic?
Yes. Well, I'm just trying to be entertaining. Hopefully you're
Are
you not entertained? I'm playing the Seamus role today. But anyway, Headmaster Don, you can blame him for this topic. It is kind of a marketing topic, but I want to go into a little bit more than just the marketing end of it. We all love the toys that are inside the box. But there are a lot of things that come with the toy that help add to the experience. Yes, Rick is holding up a Raiden?
This is a Raiden Jr. gift set sealed.
Oh, wow. Minty box, too.
Minty box.
So the packaging is a part of it, but there's a lot of other things that are involved, you know, artwork, accessories, things that are related to the toy that you can pick up. A lot of things that add to the value of the toy or the importance of the toy in your mind. and in the overall enjoyment. We're going to talk a little bit about that, and I also want to go into the accessories end of it. You know, are accessories kind of necessary, or are they kind of not necessary? Of note, lately, with the Power of the Primes toys, a lot of them are coming without weapons, and that's kind of a disappointment. You know, I mean, I got my Voyager Power of the Primes Grimlock, and he comes with the foot pads for Volcanicus, and no guns. You know, no dual cannon, no sword. Thank God for Shapeways and people that do great things that way. But I think they're kind of trying to push the fact that you can use a little the Prime Masters as weapons. So that kind of.
But it's not the same. Helps. I mean, it's not the same. No. It's not like it's a designated weapon that it's. Optimus has that iconic blaster.
Yes.
Grimlock, Dinobots, they have that iconic sword. Megatron, he's got an iconic sword. Shockwave has an iconic arm cannon, a barrel style that's significant to the IP of that character. So I think, you know, Combiner Wars, they're fun toys. They're great toys for kids. They're really good for adults. And as adults, we can supplement those toys with Shapeways and third-party accessories.
But for the kids that don't have access to that, yeah.
I think there's something lost there.
Let's go ahead and tackle this bear right now. You know, with the accessories part. You know, the accessories that come with a toy is something that a lot of people you don't really think about or even notice until they're not there, in my opinion. You know. Because a lot of the times, some of them you just set to the side, you rarely use, or you only use in one mode. You know, like the foot pads. For me, some of them, you know, like in Generation 1, what do you do with the combiner bits when they're not in combine mode? Yeah. So you just set them off to the side. You know, I've got like a couple little tackle boxes down here with some weapons in it. You know, you just kind of keep them sorted out that way. But
it was a different time then, you know, like when you transform your seekers.
Well, that's even modern though.
Okay. Let's start at the beginning then with Starscream, G1 Starscream. You take his arms off, you take his fist off, you take his wings off, you take his landing gear off, and you just put him to the side and hope you don't lose him in between the time that you're playing as Jet versus Robot. All right, and then as time has gone on, the design theory has been we want a toy that is complete, so even if you lose a gun or a sword, you're still able to transform that figure into its full car mode or its full bird mode or Jet, whatever it may be. Now, that is true still of the Power of the Primes toys, but you have these awkward, very awkward pieces for Grimlock that just kind of stick to the sides of his arm, and they're not really designed in a way that is symbolic or representative enough of a weapon.
They're not his accessories. They're his Combimo's accessories, but he himself doesn't have anything.
And they look, right. And they also look gangly, let's be honest.
They do look gangly.
And it's not enough.
No.
Is it enough?
I am kind of taking a page from, you know, the encouraged playbook, I guess, as it were, from Hasbro, and using a Prime Master as his weapon. I'm using, I think it's Landmine, the one with the double-barreled Gatling gun, I guess, that he turns into the
what color?
I have to look at it.
Is he yellow and it's Landmine?
If it's red, it's Cloudburst.
Cloudburst, yeah. The red and blue one. The Wave one. The one that was not Skullgrim, yes. I'm using him as my weapon for Grimlock because he's at least got the double-barreled gun. But it's not the gun that typically you would associate with Grimlock. You know, Grimlock, all the Dinobots for that matter, have a very identifiable, iconic and identifiable sword. If you are familiar with the Dinobots, you know whose sword goes with whom. You know, Grimlock has the straight-edged sword, almost a broadsword type, I guess. Then you have Slag, who's got the hilt that's got like the fancy curls on it, I guess. Sludge has got the little wire that connects the hilt to the beam, and then Snarl's got the jagged blade, and then Swoop has got kind of a variation on Grimlock's. It's kind of squarish and everything. So they, you know whose sword goes with who. And yeah, Rick's holding up. Is that he actually comes with that one, doesn't? Or is
yeah,
that
Swoop a, came yeah. with that, so, but he didn't so come Swoop, with his missile pods.
No,
right. So Swoop doesn't come with his weapon. The Dinobots come with either the sword or a blaster, not with both. But you know, he comes with this, you know, awkward looking thing, and I don't know if it's supposed to represent a shield or a gauntlet or a blaster. And yeah, all right, it's got some playability with it, where you know you can attach it to his hand or its arm. But it would just be so much nicer if he can just click it to the back and not look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because for people like me, I just take this and it goes in a box.
Set it aside.
It just goes in a box because this is. How the character should look, and you know, thanks to Shapeways, and check out Trent Troop's Shapeways store. He does a lot of great weapons. I need to get that signature weapon for Swoop and all the Dinobots, because it does feel like there is something missing here.
Well, the double missile pods on the missile pods on his wings are also a hallmark of Swoop that are really missing on that toy. You know, and for that matter, it isn't just official toys that this is limited to. And one of my favorite third-party toys is guilty of having a missing accessory that I would have expected. And that would be Fans Toy Stomp. You know, keeping with the Dinobots theme, Fans Toy Stomp does not have Sludge's rifle. It's got his grenade pod launcher. It's got his sword, but it does not have a rifle, Sludge's rifle. And I thought that was a strange omission from such a premium version of that character.
Yeah, usually third parties are very much into making sure that they hit all the check boxes for homages. When they do characters in that sense, where it's a, you know, almost a direct representation of how it looked in a certain time period. When they do something else, that's like that Springer from what was that first Triple Changer Springer, the deluxe one.
Oh, the Warbot Defender.
Project? Warbot, yes. Defender. Yes. So, okay, so you give that one a pass because it's not a definitive reconstruction of how that character looked. It's a new interpretation of that character. All right, so you give that a pass. But when you have something like a Fans Toys Dinobot, like something that's like a masterpiece, you really want it to have everything it's supposed to have, everything that you remember made that character cool. It'd be like selling a Prime without a Matrix nowadays. If he comes with a Matrix slot, but he doesn't have a Matrix in it, it would be a weird omission to create an Optimus with a Matrix slot, but not have him come with a Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was a recent weird omission was Masterpiece Black Convoy. And so to remedy that, I had to get this.
You know, I'm sitting here in my basement looking at my toys. And it occurs to me, it's been a really, really long time since we've had a promotion like this in Transformers, where this is a Throttlebot, and it comes carded with a little decoy.
Ah, yes. That's another thing that is come and gone that is not part of the toy itself, but it helps add to the enjoyment of it.
Right. So for the same price, back in the day, you'd be able to get a little decoy transformer, which came randomly packed. And on the G.I. Joe side, they had the little, PVC G.I. Joe figures.
I don't think I've ever had anything like that. The closest I've got is Minicons during Armada.
Yeah, the Armada period, there were special gift packs where, for the same price, they'd take a Voyager or, like a Mega figure, and they'd
stick Minicons on top of it.
Yeah, they would kind of just tape a container of three Minicons on top of it. And a lot of those times, those ended up at, Black Friday sales or, BJ's, Costco, Sam's Club type of
event. I don't know about your area, but a lot of times in the stores that I would go to around here, you could find those packaging, and people had cut the Minicons off the top and just taken the Minicons.
Yeah. That's a shame. I hate it when people do that. I hate it when people buy a figure and then return a different figure in the box.
Yes. Annoying.
But, that's another topic for another time.
Promotions. Yeah, promotions was such a great, whether it's a PVC figure or a reflective patch or a sticker, it was just, as a kid, I remember just it being such a big deal for me opening that thing up and I got this little decoy now. I got this little,
I think I had them all style. As a kid.
I'm still trying to finish off my red Decepticons.
Weren't there only 10 or 12 of each?
No. They were very rare, but not that rare. But they're still expensive.
No, I mean, there was 10 or 12 different ones, or different molds is what I mean, of each faction.
Of each character, you mean?
No, of each faction, from each faction, because every character wasn't covered.
I mean, I don't remember. I'm off the top of my head, I think there was 45 different decoys.
Oh.
Off the top of my head.
I didn't think there was that many.
Yeah, there might be a bit more. And then in Japan, they continued them when the U.S. stopped.
Really? That I did not know.
Oh, yeah. They have Ultra Magnus, Predaking, Metroplex, Superion, a whole bunch of different guys. And then they came in different sizes over there, too. They made smaller ones, bigger ones.
Now,
came in an assortment of colors.
For those of you who aren't familiar with the Generation 1 decoys, essentially they were kind of like big erasers is what they were. Although they weren't erasers, that's kind of what they felt like. But they were meant to be, I guess, decoys or cannon fodder, I guess. For your play battles,
yeah, they were and they were designed almost from the animation, heavily inspired by the animation, which was great.
Which you really didn't get that much back in the day, especially in Generation 1. Toys were almost always completely different from what you saw on the cartoon. But it was nice to have a little pack in that really didn't add anything to the cost, but you had a little pack in of a little caricature of that character. And now the character that you got as a decoy wasn't always the character that was on the card of the toy that you were buying. For example, you didn't get Red Alert with Red Alert or a Brawn with a Brawn. Sometimes you might, right. But you might have got Hook, Constructicon Hook with Brawn. You might have got Bumblebee with Air Raid. It was kind of random, I guess, is how they put them in there.
Yeah, they were randomly assorted.
But, that's kind of a lost thing that you just don't see anymore.
The last time something big like that happened was the Unicron head with Primus. Cybertron Primus, the first edition. That's had right. That little Unicron head in it. And then the subsequent releases took that piece out. and it had a little Unicron head that was like battle damage with some tentacles out of it.
Yeah, I had
got that head.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what a big deal that was for collectors when that came out. I mean, it really didn't. I don't remember if it connected to the story of Armada or not, or to Cybertron, but it was just, it was like indicative of G1, like that, you know, Unicron head floating in the background. That was the last time that I think something major like that happened.
I'm thinking, I really can't think of any other time when we got something like that.
There were some like patches that came with some Human Alliance figures.
Mm-hmm. Now,
for Dark of the Moon,
I will say that there is something that does come. I don't want to say all negative things that we don't get with modern toys that we used to get. You know, that modern toys come with absolutely no frills, just toy in the package, and that's it. There's something that's really cool that I like that comes with these, and I'm kind of a collector of them, and that's the collector's cards, the collectible cards.
Right.
Come packed in. I dig it. I'm a big fan of the package art. You know, we did an old whole episode on G1 package art. That over. If you have the G1 yes. Legacy book from Jim Sorensen, and you're obviously some sort of a fan of the G1 art, the package art, or any of the art that was included on the package. And to me, that's also relevant to what we're talking about tonight. How have you ever actually bought a Transformer? Not because you like the toy, but because the artwork on the box was cool. I am guilty of that.
I'm guilty of that, but when we were kids, it was different. The artwork was very stylized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I've done that. I don't think so.
Now,
but I definitely would have been more susceptible to it when I was a kid.
There was instances as a kid where the package art influenced my decision to buy a toy because I looked at the picture of the toy on the box and wasn't too impressed by it, but the package art or the box art actually depicted it in a way that appealed to me, and I wound up actually liking the toys. And two of those were the Duocons, Flywheels and Battletrap. The box art I thought was amazing. The toys didn't look that great, but they were fun toys. So it actually
fell into the trap of how are these? I mean, I'm so upset that here in 1987 we don't have articulation.
Yeah, yeah, or arms.
So in back in my day, we had non-window boxes, so we had to rely on a picture of the toy in its alt mode and art, very stylized art that would be the representation of this toy. So everything now comes in the window box. You have to be able to see the toy. You have to be it's very unusual that you don't have a non-window box. And I think like to the Toys R Us Masterpiece figures, like they're non-window boxes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, that's a foreign toy.
Japan's something, you know, a little different. But, you know, back in the 80s, they were doing glow-in-the-dark mini posters. And we hadn't had a poster in a box, I think, since this, until we had the Combiner Wars gift sets, which came yes. with those posters inside of them.
There was – well, the Cybertron figures had the posters that were also the product catalogs. And then the first movie, the preview guys, the Optimus and Starscream deluxes that transformed into Meteors – they had posters if you got them at Walmart.
I got mine at Walmart. I don't recall getting them.
I don't remember. That wasn't an in-package variant then.
I don't remember getting a poster with those.
Yes, I think. Because it had a call-out for it.
There's no in-package variant for that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it was just it was with the instruction stuff, so it would be in the bottom of the box.
Although if you have one of the Starscreams of those, and it's sealed in the package. There are variants out there now that that instead of the Starscream, you got gold dust in it.
Mine's still kicking.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt, but I have one card and it's still in good shape.
Just don't shake it very hard.
And I think I have a variant, but it's not a poster variant.
Yeah, the poster things were cool. Like you said, with the combiner stuff, it was really cool to see that come back. It's better than having, you know, this little card thing. I hate these things, especially because when you got them with Combiner Wars, there's nothing on the back.
But you keep them.
I guess.
Look, see, you're keeping that card because you had it on your desk.
I did. But see, I don't like that. I mean, even the new Power of the Prime Zones, where it has just a little bit of bioinformation, is a little bit better, but I still don't like it. I wish it had lots of bioinformation.
I would have enjoyed the cards more. I would enjoy the cards more if, like, on the front, you have the fantastic art by Marcello, which I think he does a large portion of those. You have that fantastic artwork, and that's one of the reasons why I keep them, because I love that artwork. It's original, it's fresh, and it's downright cool. But I wish that, like you said, on the back, we had like a full tech spec. You know, I know there's not a whole lot of real estate on the back, but, you know, at least give us a full bio that's more than just a sentence in three languages. And give us like a bar graph, at least, you know, a small bar graph of the abilities of the character.
Yeah, that was something that we had talked about while I was working at Hasbro, is that we have so much legal information that you have to put on there, and then you have to do the tri-language or more, or a five-language card, that you really can't put that many words on it. But then, you know, that does take away from a character sometimes.
But if you're already doing a pack-in card, you could put all that information on the card, because that legal information doesn't need to be on there.
Yes and no. I think it had to do with certain countries have certain different laws. So, you know, to appease one, you'd have to do it on all of them. Because you wouldn't just print a new set of cards for something that would just ship to a particular region.
Well, see, that's something that never made sense to me from a marketing standpoint. If you're going to do a pack-in, and there are packaging variants, we know that there's packaging variants, you know, especially, you know, even back in the day in Generation 1, you had some of the same toys. For example, Aerialbots, some of them had decoys, some of them didn't. You know, some of them had the movie poster or the glow-in-the-dark poster. Some of them didn't. You know, and Combiner Wars, some of them had comics. Some of them didn't.
That's a region thing. Comics were in America.
Exactly. So if you're going to do that, then what difference does it make? You know, put you know, the ones that come out in the North American region, put them out with the bio cards. And let's say you have some that goes to Europe, you know, to Germany.
Takes up resources. That takes up having to hire someone to do that, to manage that, take someone on the creative side.
But they're doing
it
already, is what I'm saying, though. They're doing it already with some variants. And if they're going to do that, then, you know, either have some places with the card and some without, you know, and in this day and age, it's rather easy if you want a specific version of something. Like if you're in Europe and you want a version with the bio card, just get it online, you know. But if you don't care, just get it locally. That's my thing.
Can we talk about bios for a second? Because sure. I actually had a little bit to say about that.
Sure.
You guys had it when you guys were kids with G1, and then I had bios up until, you know, recently. And when I was a kid, I knew that I wanted to work on Transformers any way I could. And I'm not a very design-oriented person, so I can't make them, I can't engineer them. But I'm a good writer, so I could write the bios. So I wanted to be the person when I grew up to write the bios. And I practiced writing them when I was younger. I went to school and did writing things that way, only to find out that as I aged, bios went away. I mean, who are they gonna hire to write one sentence? It could be literally anybody. They used to have Forrest Lee, the copywriter. I don't know if he still works for Hasbro or not, but that was the job I wanted. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's not an option. They're not hiring people to do that anymore.
But, you know, Forrest did a great job, and sometimes Forrest would ask me for input and say, hey, what do you think about this character? A lot of times it was newer characters. But it's not like he was the copywriter just for Transformers.
Right.
So he would do a ton of other stuff at Marvel, and he'd have to, like, dig deep with Marvel. Like, he'd have to do a lot of research going through comics and the internet to really nail down
a
bio. And when you have, like, an assortment of, let's say, 42 new figures coming down the line, plus you have Transformers, plus you have variants, plus you have to figure out all the legal copy that needs to go on there. That's a lot. It was a tough job. So you could see how, from a marketing point, they would also look to cut that down to the minimum so that they can still only have one person doing the job.
Yeah, I miss it. And I wanted that to be my career path.
You know, I miss it too. And, you know, for a time during Cybertron, I think it was Cybertron, the bios were online, which I didn't think helped. And the whole idea was directing them towards Transformers.com. But those websites get updated and those bios go away. And if it wasn't for things like the wiki, those bios would be gone forever.
Yep, temporary. Speaking of bios, didn't you write a few in your day, Rick?
Yeah, I wrote a few bios. First one I ever wrote was before I worked for Hasbro.
Ricochet.
Was Ricochet, the U.S. release of Ricochet.
Stepper.
I wrote a few for the club, for BotCon, and I think I wrote a few for Hasbro while I was there on behalf of Forrest. I can't remember.
Any particular characters you remember?
I think I did Swindle for the War for Cybertron or Follow Cybertron. Because I was like, I got to do that guy. I got to do it. I got to do that one. And then I wrote all the bios for the Hall of Fame. And I was trying to pull from all the different universes to make one bio.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That, you know, it's not like, it's not this version from this universe or this version from that universe.
It's all of them.
It's just got little tidbits from everything in there.
Yep.
And Erector wasn't allowed into the Constructicons because he wasn't green. But then they became yellow in G2, which is why when we did the G2, when we did the video presentation for Erector, I made him pink. So that he still would
try to fit in.
I remember that. Right. I was there for that.
He's.
Where, by the way, speaking of that video and people who remember the video, what was the cartoon that you got the, it looked like a Erector, but it wasn't Erector. It had a crane as a dick and he was sitting there, you know, womp, 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 you know.
Oh, well, that wasn't in the video, but that's from GoBots. That's from Machine Robos.
I could have swore that was in the video.
No, that wasn't in the video. No, we did all original art for the video.
What is that dude's name? That dude has a weird... I think his name is also Erector.
Was it?
I don't know.
Orange crane guy from GoBots? I think his name is also Erector.
Hmm. Not a lot of names you can
Someone correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's what it is. I don't know.
I never got into GoBots that deep to know. But, yeah, we did... I hired people from all over the spectrum to do different Erector art. We got everyone did like a different piece. We did Alternators, Beast Wars, G2, movie, the MMOG.
Did animated too.
We did animated. We never did Beast Wars. Beast Machines, sorry. We never did a Beast Machines one.
Although that would have been a cool Beast Machines director.
Yeah, he was a beaver. He was a beaver in Beast Wars, but he was like a Scottish beaver, right?
Yeah.
So, like, when he transformed into robot mode, the tail would become a kilt.
So where is that stuff now?
As far as I know, there's only one copy of that video in existence.
And where does it live?
Somewhere.
Unfortunate.
Somewhere under the rainbow.
Somewhere, I don't know.
But anyway, let's think of some other things that are included, that were included around the toy that we either miss or, like Don suggested, we hope never come back. Are there any that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, I'm not a big fan of having instructions on the back of carded figures.
Oh, no, that's horrible.
Now, I know that for a certain price point, okay, all right, you look at your mini bots from G1, you look at even some of your basics or, you know, from Beast Wars. So, and
if it's got like four or five steps, that's no problem.
Yeah, you know, your activators, okay, fine. You know, but, you know.
The Robots in Disguise Warriors, I think they're big enough that they deserve to have instructions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Boxes used to have flaps a long time ago. And on the top of the box, that's where it would be, you know, a couple steps just to show you that it goes right from this mode to this mode. But with the absence of flaps now, so much is fitted onto the front of the box. Back of the box is usually, hey, there's these other figures available. Robot mode, vehicle mode, you know, it does this, combines with this. His head comes off, becomes his tit, whatever.
becomes his tit. But,
yeah, Overlord's an interesting Overlord character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I think even like combiners, like Swindle and Vortex, and I think on like the European Gold Card releases, they had the steps for transforming it on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right here.
Yes, but see, that's four steps. Not a big deal. But whenever you get into multiple steps, like 10, 12 steps, that's a lot to put on the back of a card.
And then there's tech specs.
They even had room for that.
Yeah. Tech specometer. You would take your tech specs, cut them out of the box, and you'd be able to read them with your Transformers tech specometer.
That's gone. I wouldn't have sacrificed it to get rid of tech specs in general, but I'd like that you don't have to cut them out anymore.
That flimsy piece of red film was so cool. It came with all your box Transformers. You would put it over the back of the box, or you'd cut the textbook out and put it over, and you'd be able to see the
love
power
that
levels.
Loved it.
And, you know, at the time, that was genius. But there's nothing interactive
not
like
very
that
practical.
Now. Now it's you take your phone, and you scan the QR code, and it shows you the textbooks. All right, technology's moved in that direction. But it's, you know, we come from a different generation.
What about robot points, cutting them out and mailing them in for another new
toy?
Oh,
man, I wish there was anything like that. Now, the last one we had was in Revenge of the Fallen.
Yes,
for
the Ravage.
Yeah, this guy. I got him right here.
Yes, yes. Yes, I worked on that one.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love him, and I wish there was mail-aways all the time. I mean, during that same time, you could mail away and get, like, three deluxes, or you could get the shirt and the Matrix Creo Optimus Prime and like a coupon.
You know,
during that time there was mailways, and then there haven't been any since.
That's something that we could have mentioned last week on this episode, whenever we were talking about things that have gone away that once identified the brand or identified the franchise that have completely
mail-aways
disappeared away from the brand. And it's sad because it was actually gave you something to work toward, you got a good reward, and it encouraged more sales because to get the points that you needed to mail off for that toy, you had to buy more toys, you know.
Yeah.
So, and you know, the bigger the toy, the more points you got, you know. So, to me, I thought it was like a win-win situation for everybody, but we just don't see that anymore, and it's sad.
And I think robot points started coming back with Generations, and somebody asked in the BotCon, well, why is it on there? It's like, well, we haven't figured it out yet. We haven't figured it out.
And
but then
they
you know, Revenge of the Fallen came around, and they finally did it. They finally created a reason for those to exist again. But that was the end of it. That Revenge of the Fallen was like the last points mail away there is. What's interesting now is that Hasbro's doing a Kickstarter.
What?
Yes, so, I do want to talk about that, but I kind of want to talk about that in its own deal, like next week, because that is going to be insane.
Well, it's going on right now.
I know.
And
is that the barge thing? The Star Wars barge.
And people are saying, oh, it'll be great for Masterpiece Unicron. Will it? I don't know. I think a lot depends on the Star Wars barge and how it goes.
I think it'll be great for stuff like Takara Tomy Maul's Grand Max, where if they didn't make the orders, they wouldn't have made it. And since they didn't make the extension of the orders, they didn't make the Pretender shell. I think we'll get stuff like Metro Titan finally that way.
And the extension is
Rabbit Crater.
I think you're looking at new tooling, something that's a little more special. So I can see them saying, hey, we're going to do a 2 foot tall Unicron or a 2 foot tall Scorponok, because what we didn't see at Toy Fair was a big Titan. You know, last year we had Triptychon.
Well, I think Predaking.
They don't come together in a box set, do they?
Yes,
they do.
Yeah. Oh, they do.
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
Predaking. They showed the box.
My mistake.
Yeah,
so
that's he's like Devastator from a couple years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, my mistake. I thought he came separate.
Tantrum is called Torox now. He cleans your floors.
Yeah, he comes with giant backpacks that turn into legs.
Yes.
Thighs specifically.
Although I do think it's genius that the fists fold up and inside the foot, and store away inside the foot. So you can have like the big cannons on Headstrong and Tantrum's backs, and the fists are actually tucked away inside the foot cannons. And that's kind of neat. That was kind of genius.
You know who did that first? Feral Rex.
Oh, I don't have Feral
Rex. You know what else we're missing, which comes and goes? It comes and goes with this brand, are the Reb signs.
Yes.
They show up, they disappear, they show up, they disappear, they show up and disappear.
I don't like them.
Why?
Well, okay. Why, and then we'll tell you why you're wrong.
That's fine. I mean, I understand why they're there. I just, I think I should be able to see the faction symbols on my toys.
Well, they weren't meant to be the only faction symbol, though.
Okay, they were.
Back in the day, I viewed the reason for the Reb symbols was that because at the time you had a major competing transforming toy line in GoBots.
Right.
And you knew you had a Transformer if it had the Reb sign on it.
Yes.
And that's how you identified it as a Transformer.
And then we'll skip 200 for the Decepticons,
Reveal the shield, guys.
Reveal the shield, not hunt for the reveal the shield.
Based
around that gimmick, there I think it was used inappropriately
that's the one I don't
specifically
like.
On Trax, because you wanted that red, you wanted that big Autobot symbol on the hood of that car, and instead we got a little Reb sign.
Yep.
on the top on the hood. That was a misfire. But it does harken back to the early days of the brand. And when things like that showed up in Beast Wars, it just was another way of connecting Beast Wars, which was so far removed artistically and engineer-wise from G1, that to have that Reb sign, it was just something special. It just connected it more to its ancestors.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
What we need and what I kept pitching was a big shirt that's a giant Reb sign. When you go out in the sun, the symbol shows up. And when you go back inside, the symbol goes away.
And that's totally doable, too.
Nobody ever understood the concept. I even made a mock-up, and nobody understood the concept. I'm like, it's a shirt. When you go outside, you're like, do you rub the shirt? No. The heat from the sun changes the shirt. And you see the symbol then. And nobody got into it.
I would totally have one of each of those.
Yeah.
Now, didn't Beast Wars have some Reb signs, too?
Yeah, Beast Wars had Reb signs. And then they switched, once Trans Metal 2s came out, they switched to Sparks, which was...
which I like. I love those.
I like the Sparks, too.
Yeah.
I like the Sparks because Sparks, thanks to Beast Wars, became an important part of the brand. But they were put in awkward places. Like Transmetal 2 Cheetor had the spark on his hip. Sometimes they're like in the shoulder. The cool ones had it like in their chest.
Right.
Where it should be. But it was, the sparks were cool. And then that went away with Beast Machines.
Well, Beast Machines had...
Rid Megatron had it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was the last.
Yeah. Okay.
Kinda and they makes they me kinda wonder come and if he, go was, too. He was going to be designed as a Beast Machine almost.
Yeah.
Because he even had some of the Beast Machine aesthetic.
A little bit.
Of course, from that.
Well, I guess time, him and time Bruticus. Period.
Yeah.
And Air Attack Optimus Primal, but those are Beast Machines toys anyway.
So, yeah, and then for all the repaints, they would just put the spark there, but it was a solid color, and they would just paint Autobot or Decepticon on it.
Like Universe Razor Claw has that.
Yeah, for all the Universe repaints. Yeah.
Now, time is actually getting kind of short right now, but to wrap up, let's talk about things that we don't want to see come back that, you know, for a while was included and... have been part of the toys before or part of the surroundings of the toy. And we just didn't care for them for one reason or another. And I'm going to throw this one out there, and this is just going to be a general statement, and that is rounded packaging. The Transformers Armada, the rounded car bubbles. It looked cool. It looked really cool. We even mentioned this a few weeks ago when Aaron was on. I loved how they looked. But if you are collecting some that are sealed, then you don't, you can't stack them. They're hard to stack. They roll all over the place. Just very annoying.
They're not easy to pack away when you have to move from one house to another.
No.
Same with the movie toys. Like, the first movie toys suffered from that. And even the titanium figures, the 3-inch ones that had the,
mm-hmm.
like, a blister bubble package are a pain in the ass.
Or what about the Transformers animated, the weird-shaped boxes? You know,
yeah.
Sometimes those were a bit of a pain.
I love those.
I'm
they display nice, but it is awkward when you're trying to pack them all up because you have to move.
Yeah. I'm more of a plain Jane. Let's keep the boxes simple. Either have just your standard rectangle or square or whatever kind of box you have. If you want to have a flap on it, that's fine. But I just prefer the plain Jane box.
I agree bubbles. That everything at regular retail, needs to be a square box. But there's things like the Comic-Con stuff, or like a Masterpiece figure, like the Masterpiece Starscream came in what was almost a Decepticon style box, which is what I think we were trying to go for.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are special. They command a higher price at retail, and they stick out better. They're better display pieces. So for things like that. Yes, a different packaging gives it an extra appeal. But for like regular retail release, like those animated packaging, man, those leader animated with their weird boxes that.
Although it was eye catching on the shelf, I have to give them that.
It's just the colors.
But the thing is that you brought up something else, exclusive packaging. That also goes back to something that we kicked off talking about, pack-ins like mini-cons and everything. We do still get those from time to time, and we just recently got some with Titan Returns RC and Grotusk. Got a pack-in extra head.
That's a convention exclusive. That's not something that's a retail... Like a regular retail, you go to your Toys R Us or Walmart and get.
Grotusk?
Yeah, I think Dark of the Moon is the last time we saw that.
Was Grotusk a convention exclusive?
Deluxes.
Yeah, you would see. Was it Dark of the Moon or Revenge of the Fallen where
I think they both had it, but like you could get Leader Bumblebee with Swindle.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not Swindle, Camshaft. Sorry, Repaint Swindle.
Yes. And then there's like the weird incentive figures, like the 2000 Chevy Aereo.
Aveo.
Was it the Aveo?
Yes, the Aveo.
That you had to go test drive a Chevy in order to get it?
Mm-hmm.
Or go to an event in Canada or whatever other
way. Or just pay a premium and get one from somebody that has.
For a mediocre toy. It was a pain in the butt to get a mediocre toy. It's not like it was like, you know, if it was like a Bumblebee or an Optimus or something, you know.
Another toy that comes with no accessories.
Absolutely.
It was a unique mold.
Absolutely. It was. I like it.
It was a unique mold that's never come out anywhere else.
Christian, do you think of anything that you wish wouldn't come back that was included?
I have stuff that I wish would come back, but stuff I'm glad that is here now. But the stuff that I wish would never come back is the current plastic ties that tie the figures into the bubbles.
They
are annoying.
I wish that we could go to like the Takara style clamshell packaging.
Those are fine. Awesome. I like the rattan ties, the paper ones. Those were the best because I like recycling. So those are cool. And I'm also glad we currently have window boxes for like everything, like this guy. Window boxes are cool. And yeah, I miss the ties, man. I like twisty ties. I get why those aren't there because metal's expensive. But the paper ties got to be cheap. Put the paper ties back.
I hate twist ties. I hate them. I hate twist ties. I hate the rattan ties. I hate the plastic ties. I want a clamshell. You know, just cut the tape around the edge, lift off. If you want to put it back in the package, you can.
Collector friendly.
Yes. And I don't see it as that much more expensive, maybe even cheaper to do it that way. Wouldn't it?
I would think. You have to make two vacuum form pieces instead of one.
Yeah, but then you're not paying
the ties. Asian
woman to take and do all the ties. So,
and possibly damage the toy in the process, too.
You could save money.
Yeah.
But, you know, that again, does that fall under the different regions have different laws? So, like, clamshells may not be allowed in certain areas. Or, you know, twist ties are used primarily to prevent theft. That's what they're there for.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's some things to talk about and things to think about. We encourage our listeners to share their thoughts on things that surrounding the toy that aren't necessarily the toy itself. Whether it be packaging, pack-ins, accessories, things that you enjoyed, things that you didn't enjoy, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet them to us at TFYLP. Go on to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/TFYLP and talk about it in there. And as always, go to tftalk.net and find out all the latest information on the podcast. And sometimes we have current news up there as often as I can get it up there.
Often as you can get it up.
Yes, as often as I can get it up. Sometimes I have to take a blue pill to do so. But no, I don't.
You guys are weird.
I don't. I'm not that old yet. I'm not Mom's age.
Diabetes.
Also, check out a really cool book on Amazon.com. There's a link on tftalk.net. From the front page, Rick is holding up the book right now. It is the unofficial guide to vintage Transformers by someone named J.E. Alvarez.
And
is there any relation to you?
We have these available through the Patreon as well, where you can get a signed copy.
Yes, if you do our top tier and become a Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. If you do our top tier, you will get an autographed copy of that book from Rick.
Maybe something else.
Yes.
Transformers related.
Yes. He will send you a Kiss player.
My kid will show up at your house with a note saying, "I belong to you now."
and it will transform into an adult, and you will have to pay for its college.
Feed me mac and cheese.
But yes, Patreon, we love all of our people that Patreon for us. It helps us continue each month. It's helping me get a new computer soon, hopefully, if I can find the components to do so. And, you know, it just helps keep the lights on. You know, server fees are not cheap, and upgrade stuff, you know, we got mics and everything to buy. You know I need to get, Christian a mic and everything.
We need to get Jim a mic.
Yes, Jim. He's got a mic, but it just... I think his computer just sucks, actually. His mic seems good. I think he's trying to do it all on a Chromebook, and that's... You know, you can't podcast from a Chromebook successfully, in my opinion. Or not with quality. It'd be like holding up your phone the whole time and going, yes, this is my podcast. You know.
That's what I do.
Or well, hell, Flint Dilly, he joined the podcast from his cell phone in his backyard in his hammock. So,
did he have a cigar?
No, he was just laying in his hammock and he talked to us until his battery died. yeah, that was awesome. Awesome time. But thank you, everyone, for joining us on TFYLP this week. Apologize that we can't be live. Again, you know, once I get a new computer, hopefully that will rectify that problem or at least solve a large portion of it. Even this pre-recording right now, you can probably tell the video is really, really choppy. And that's because I have a slow computer. And with each new update, you know, security patches and everything, this computer keeps getting slower and slower and slower. The lowest for this program that I use to broadcast and record with, the lowest spec requires a Core i5. It's recommended to have a Core i5. I'm running this with a Core i3, so yeah, I'm actually overtaxing this computer just to bring this great podcast to you. So
it's because he loves you guys so much.
Yes. But I'm not. I know I'm not getting your Bud Light, that's the way it goes. I love you, man. We will see you next time on TFYLP. I'm Daron for Christian and Rick. We'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Hail Satan.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.